horizon. Angelique Kidjo, shining like a sun ray.
Hi everyone, welcome to Africa Untold. These are your co-hosts, Aisha and...
I'm Caroline.
So Caroline and I are actually both originally from Kenya. And we know each other from Rice University. Woot woot! Rice Owls! and I met Caroline, she was a year ahead of me, and I met Caroline, when did we meet? My freshman year of college?
I think your freshman year, my sophomore year.
So yeah, I'm reporting from Houston, Texas, and Caroline is
from Richmond, Virginia. Not as exciting as Houston, Texas.
But I don't know what you're talking about. Virginia is pretty great.
Houston weather is much closer to African weather. Well, I say African weather, I mean Kenyan weather.
Central region, like the hilly region weather. Yeah, yeah, you're right. So Caroline and I were inspired to start this blog / podcast / Africa Untold thing.
Africa Untold, yeah.
Africa Untold. It was really funny because we were kind of inspired to do this at the same time. And I don't remember, did I reach out to you or did you reach out to me?
I think I reached out and I was like, I think we should start something.
Yeah, and much. I mean, it was funny because we were both inspired by, I guess, what we see on the internet and on Facebook.
Right.
Having both come from an African background and having to go through college and seeing all these things where people are constantly talking about Africa being a country and,
The dumb questions.
And it's not just that. It's, for me, it was kind of like, okay, I know people don't mean to, but... You know, when someone would post up a picture and say, you know, and put up a little caption going, oh my God, you know, like, I took this picture in Africa, and usually my first question, and I know they don't mean it, but my first question is always, like, okay, where?
Yeah. It's not a country. Yeah, it's a continent. It's so big. I actually have a funny story about that. So I'm on Twitter, and I follow this EarthPics. And they always post, you know, like, really fancy pictures from exotic locations. And I noticed, like, they never have qualms about putting, like, very difficult names of places on there. But a couple of weeks ago, they had a picture of, you know, the stereotypical elephant African sunset. And the caption on the picture just said, Africa. And I was like, why is it that you can post a really difficult name for some random place, you know, in Vietnam, but Africa, you know? Like,
it's just
which of the 54 countries are you referring to?
Were you in? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of countries. And it's really interesting that people have this. I mean, where I come from the coast. Of Kenya, and you know, I kind of have to drive out quite a bit to actually see the wild animals and the elephants. So for me, growing up, it's interesting because I feel like this Western image of what Africa is was pushed down, I guess, my throat in some ways, because what I grew up with was palm trees and the ocean and white sand, you know. So it was never like. You know, elephants and lions. Of course I knew they existed and were there, and my parents would take us to, like, the national parks every once in a while and stuff. But for me growing up, it was never like, oh, look, you know, lions in my backyard. Kind of.
I mean, I don't think hardly anybody has that as an experience, right? I think most Africans, you know, the way they see wildlife is you go to the national park. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, in high school, I would always get asked, oh, so did you have, like, zebras in your front yard, or did you have, like all these random questions, and I was like, no. I mean, you actually see more wildlife in the U.S., I think, because you can, like, see deer running around and stuff, and, you know, it's not very common unless you live in the very, very rural part of Africa.
And let me tell you what I saw.
Specific countries.
Right, and let me tell you what I saw. Growing up, literally, I would see goats and chickens on the road, and cows, mostly. I think that's mostly what I saw growing up. And not to say, you know, actually, Caroline brought a really good point about, you know, people don't grow up with this kind of a reality back home in any of these countries in Africa. I mean, I will say there are some people who somewhat grow up with that reality, but it's not like, and this is very rural areas. It's kind of like how you go to rural Canada and occasionally you see, or not even rural Canada, rural U.S., and occasionally you find a bear going through a trash can, like someone's trash can. It's like a once in a blue moon kind of thing. You know, occasionally you'll find, you know, the Maasai having to track down a lion because it's eating their cattle. But it's not like literally people, you know, wake up, open the door, and there's a lion standing in the compound. I mean, that's just, it's interesting. It's, yeah, so,
it's not
so yeah,
real.
Caroline and I, right, not at all. So Caroline and I were just inspired to start this blog slash, I'll just call it Africa Untold, because at this point it's a lot of things. Just kind of to shed light on this topic and to kind of give a voice to our own experience that I think will reflect what a lot of people who have grown up in Africa or are still living in Africa, the kinds of experiences they have. Africa is a very big continent. And it is a big, actually, yeah, I think you're right. And it's got so many countries with so many cultures and foods and its diversity. It's incredible, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think even in Kenya alone, right, you and I'm from the central part of the country, which is more farming part of the country. So, I mean, you grew up with palm trees, and I think, you know, I lived in Kenya until I was 13. I got to go to the coast once, but, you know, because it's like a 10-hour drive, you know, and, but yeah, my reality was, yeah, goats and cattle and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, yes, we had running water and electricity. Like, that's another dumb question.
And not to say that there are not people who have to walk for miles a day to get water, but Caroline, I mean, my reality and Caroline's reality were basically, you know, we'd wake up and there would be water and electricity. Granted, I don't know about you, Caroline, but we had power outages quite frequently.
Oh, of course. All the time.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we had light switches that we would flick on and off. And we had cars that would take us to school.
Yeah.
And our houses were not tree houses.
That is another one. Yeah, we actually lived in, you know, brick houses or, you know, wood houses or whatever. I actually think that African households are built better than most you find over here, because in the U.S. you find so much, you know, things are built very quickly, but it's like the foundation, just the foundation is brick and everything else is wood. But at least in my part of the country, like almost, you know, all the houses are built out of brick, and they're much more sturdy in that sense.
And I mean, coming here, I actually found it a little strange that the majority of the houses were made from wood. Because even at, you know, where in Kenya, I know growing up is a lot of people, like even lower income people would have, even if they would have small houses, they would still have brick houses. Like, I mean, although if you go to like Kibera slums and stuff, then that's when you, or any slum area, that's when you start seeing like more temporary structures made from, what is that, metal sheets that people put on their roofs?
Yeah, like sheets, yeah, or even cardboard.
Cardboard, wood, anything they can find. So for me coming here, I thought that was really interesting to see that majority of the houses were made from wood.
Favorite one. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from Kenya. So if somebody knows Kenya is in Africa, right? That's always the first step. Oh, is that in Africa? Like, yep. So I think two main questions I get. The first one is, how come you speak English so well? Well, the first is either like, how come you speak English so well, or how come you speak English? And so, you know, it's like, well, you know, English is the national language of Kenya. you go to school, you learn English. You know, it's the case with most African countries. You know, a lot of countries in Africa were colonized by the British, and so, you know, you learn English in school. But then there's the, oh, I have a friend from Nigeria. Do you know them?
Do you know my friend from Nigeria?
Do I know your friend from the other side of the country?
Asking someone if, you know, if they know your friend from Nigeria, or mentioning that comment, you know, bringing up that comment that you have a friend from Nigeria is basically like speaking to someone from England and saying, oh, I have a friend from Russia. Do you kind of understand, like, the relationship here?
Right, or asking someone in the U.S., I have a friend from Mexico, you know?
Okay.
That's nice.
Yeah, I'm glad you have a friend from Nigeria. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Nigerians. I have a lot of Nigerian friends, but completely different sides of the continent. I think a flight from Kenya to Nigeria is probably not less than 5 hours.
Yeah.
It probably takes just as long to fly from Kenya to London as it does from flying from Kenya to Nigeria.
Yep, I think you're right, actually. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised because, yeah, there probably aren't very many direct flights or anything.
I get an interesting one that is not just from non-Africans, but I get one that is also from Africans, which I find hilarious. You know, when people ask me, okay, first, obviously I look a little different to most people. people will confuse me for Ethiopian, Cape Verdean, Somali, a bunch of things.
Okay.
I get a lot of different things. And, you know, just cool. That means I can blend in a lot of places.
Yeah.
But it's always funny when some people ask me, you know, where are you from? And I'll say, oh, I'm from Kenya. And then they'll be like, what? and then the follow-up comments are usually like, but you're not dark enough. Or,
oh,
I know, I get that one. Or,
but you don't
look Kenyan. Which is funny to me because it's literally like talking to someone, you know, if someone were to say, oh, I'm from America, you would never ask them, you know, you would never say, but you don't look American. It's
right.
So anyway, I get that too. And I get it from Africans too, believe it or not. It's like, oh, but you don't look Kenyan, or, you know, like, what? No, it's like, it totally blows their mind.
You can't possibly be Kenyan, Aisha.
No, I'm just not, you know, African enough.
But that's a good point because that is something that I think it's not just unique to Africans, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of my Asian friends, and I'm sure that's another thing, like Asian. Asia is also a continent. Why do we consider people just Asians?
Asian.
But in any case, like, right? Yeah, like, in any case, they get that question, like, oh, where are you from? Like, you know, if I have an ABC friend, like, oh, I'm from the U.S. And then someone would be like, but where are your parents from? You know, like, trying to really get at your background.
I can kind of see where people are coming from, but at the same time, I think it's important to bring the point that, or to raise the point that, okay, majority of people in Africa have brown skin. Fair enough.
Yes.
What I think a lot of people don't know is Africa has also had, and a lot of countries in Africa, not just Africa or just Kenya, a lot of countries in Africa have had immigration,
mm-hmm.
Colonialism. So you will find British descendants in Kenya. You would find Dutch descendants in South Africa. There are white South Africans. You would find Portuguese descendants that, you know, chose to stay in Angola and Mozambique. And then you'd find mixed people. You'd find a lot of Arabs in Kenya on the East Coast. There are a lot of Indians who came in the 19th century. They were actually brought by the British to work on the railway, and a lot of them stayed behind. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of different people in these different countries. I mean, you know, and in North Africa, you have the Arabs and the Berbers and even some French people that opted to stay there after independence in a lot of these countries. So, you know, a person like me is not uncommon because I'm mixed. I have Indian heritage, I have Arab heritage, I have African heritage, And for example, you know, on my father's side, we had a great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather who literally sailed from India on his little boat. He was a merchant, and he sailed from India, and he came to Kenya, I guess, to trade, and he decided to stay.
That's awesome.
Right. So it's yeah, it is. And so it's not uncommon, but it's really interesting as well from the African perspective because, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, Caroline, but in recent years, especially after 9/11, there's been a lot of rhetoric around the concept of if you're not African enough or if you don't look African, then you need to go back home. Kind of like, unfortunately, what some people say about, you know, Latin American immigrants in the U.S. or, like, you need to go back to Mexico, even if they're not from Mexico.
Right.
Unfortunately, there's some ignorant people back home, too, that kind of bring up this issue of, well, you're not really African, so you're not really Kenyan, so you need to go back home. The funny thing is, we can technically, at least my family on my mother's side, we can trace our roots. Yes, they weren't originally from Africa, but we can trace our roots back to the 12th century. And so in some respects, like, I'm more Kenyan or I'm more East African than some of these groups in East Africa.
I guess, you know, I think the root of it is just a lack of knowledge and a lack of exposure, a lack of, you're not, if you don't get integrated with other cultures, then of course they seem foreign to you, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have an understanding of what something else is, then your natural response is to, you know, categorize it as other and, you know, be afraid of it almost. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's really, really dangerous is just the categorization of people as other. But you know, I just think it's interesting. This is like Africa Untold, but the things we're speaking about, you see them in, you know, American with other immigrants. You know, you see them everywhere.
Yeah, and
we're going to try and resolve all these world issues.
It's really just to, I guess, increase the knowledge that's out there.
Yes.
So it's accessible to people who, you know, if you're interested, you can just tune in. And even if it's just one person that listens to this, for me, at least to start off and, you know, and learn something new about us and our country and our continent, that in itself would be enough for me, at least in the short term.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I think it's, you know, like Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, who's a great Nigerian author. She has this great TED Talk called The Danger of a Single Story. I'm sure you've seen it, Aisha, right? And it talks about how if all you have is one idea of somebody, then that's the whole idea you have of them. If all you have about Africa is, you know, the poor kids that you see on the commercials, right? Then you think that's what Africa is to you. And it's not until you get to see another story, you get to meet other people like Aisha and I, who are like, hey, they speak perfect English and they are educated and they're still African. And then that expands your thinking of, you know, what it means to be African, right? And what it means to live there and grow up there and all these things, right? And so it's just, I'm totally with you. Just as people get to know us, you know, they'll get to expand their worldview a little bit. And if it's just a couple of people, then, you know, one person can teach the next person.
Right. One light at a time. What other funny things have you seen or have you come across?
Interesting one for me is like, you know, there's always the, what's African food like? And that's another question that I'm like, it's so diverse. I can tell you what the food, I mean, even Kenya as an example, right? The food from where I live and where you live, so totally
so different.
You know, food from central Kenya is very simple, you know, maize and beans, greens, you know, not very spicy, but Swahili food is just, you know, absolutely amazing. not to say that the food we have is not amazing, but you know, it's just so totally different because.
And we could have a whole podcast about like food, especially Swahili food.
I think we should. I think we definitely have one in the future because.
Yeah. And you know, it's not just a food.
Now.
It's not just a food question. I get that with a lot of things. It's like, what's African weather like?
Yes.
Or what's African music like? Or what's African culture like? I mean, it's right. With a lot of things, you know. And like Caroline said, it's with everything, it's just so different. It depends on where you come from. It depends on your cultural influences.
You know, it depends whether you grow up in a city or in a rural area.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on so many things. That's a topic for another podcast altogether.
I know. We hope you will join us. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Africa Untold.
Yes, bye-bye.
Beautiful, it's your name. Wonderful is what you are to me. It's you I see in my dreams.